Hey everyone, really fun show to start off the week. We first started by talking about the WEN meme coin airdrop by Jupiter and what it could mean for the Jupiter airdrop that's happening on Wednesday, given that the WEN meme coin did do a 3x over the weekend. We also talked about the Quantum Cats Mint as the Taproot Wizards team is attempting to raise $12 million today, and we shared some predictions on where it could go from there. And lastly, we were joined by Boris, the co-founder and CEO of LiveArt, as they were the partner for today's show to discuss their upcoming drop happening on Wednesday. You can sign up for their pre-mint giveaway that they're doing with us at pre-mint. We shared some links on Twitter that you can go check out as well. You can follow us at Nifty Portal and follow LiveArt on X at LiveArtX. Thanks again and enjoy the show. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday and welcome to the Nifty Show number 659. Today, we are discussing the recent meme coin mania on Solana with that WEN token and what we have coming up this week with the Jupiter token launch. We're going to be rich, ladies and gentlemen. We got the upcoming Quantum Cats Mint that's happening today. That's a big one. They're looking to raise 12 million buckaroos. And we're going to talk about the recent dip in Ethereum NFT, some red flags that we're seeing. But happy Monday, everyone. Before I get started on that, Nick, how you doing? You look fantastic today.
Well, I just got out of the shower, Clemente, so I'm clean. That doesn't indicate literally anything at all. Okay. I also think we should have a theme for the day.
Okay.
And I'm thinking Monday should be Market Monday. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I think what you're saying.
I think we should just structure that, agree on it, and move forward. So today, and Easy's on the Monday show definitively because he spends most of his time, you know, hopping in and out, making moves here. Although I will say, Loan Shark, what was the
Nikki two times over here?
Nikki two times over here. Dude, I got my money back. Made a little three soul right there.
That's $300 in a week. You know, just from two time in the two timer. Okay, Nikki, I see you.
I made another loan. It's out active. Getting a little bit over three soul on this bad boy. We're making moves. I sold off a little bit of my honk, which continued to pump. And the technicals don't look actually super great right now, which is why I sold out a little bit. There was another token that I came across this weekend. I'm going to have to look up the name of it. I didn't. Bobo, have you seen this thing?
Yeah, there's like a small NFT collection, I believe, also that's like a 400 soul floor that's based on it.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a guy that I watch on CTO Larson on YouTube. Do you see this guy?
I'm familiar, yeah.
So I watch him periodically. He's such an interesting dude, like in terms of his approach to content. But bottom line is he has some good calls. He posted it on there and it's up like 5x since he published it. Obviously driven by him posting it. Someone says, was that one in the newsletter? No. Because I wasn't even aware of it till 2 days too late. That one is really interesting though, because it's based on so essentially it's a token tied to the NFTs. So it's a flat amount of tokens per NFT. But what happens is essentially you get a diminishing supply of the NFTs because as it circulates wallets, you have no way to accumulate back the tokens to get that NFT. So it's kind of like what's Spencer's favorite platform right now?
Flooring Protocol.
Flooring Protocol. There you go. So it's kind of like Flooring Protocol, but for a single project.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting because you have ovals on Solana, which is currently about a 10 Solamo floor, and they have very similar functionality to ovals, where if you own 1 million of said tokens, you can redeem for NFT.
Interesting. And you can also go the opposite way with converting the NFT into those tokens.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
Like that. Nick, fun fact, this has been live since 2021 and I interviewed the founder back in 2021. So I'm just saying Solamo was early once again.
This is on Solana also, which just makes it weird and questionable that this guy brought it up. Basically, I'm now viewing his channel with a healthy dose of skepticism.
I would too. I would too.
CTO Larson, what's going on there, dude?
Sounds like you're doing something that I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
All right, well, we can move forward with it. But yeah. this you asked me how I was feeling, Clemente. I'm feeling all right. I took a shower.
You look fantastic. I like that.
And I went out to I took a weekend trip. Well, a Saturday evening getaway, I would say.
Was it quaint? Did you get away? Did you unplug? Same
place I went on Christmas. One of the highlights of the weekend was listening to the couple next door get into an argument and kind of doing an analysis of what our thoughts and feelings with my girlfriend about their argument were. It was very exciting. We got to do a little self-reflection through determining the fact that the couple next to us, she was very mad because her phone was, quote, broken. He said, it's not broken. It's just slow. And she's like, slow is broken. And then, and so they got in a big fight, a significant yelling match over it. She made him feel uncomfortable. He was very defensive as a result of her yelling about it. She apologized. He didn't want to let go of it. It just continued for an extreme period of time, basically. And they would just not let it go. I felt resentment from both of them, frankly. It was escalating very quickly, and we ended up leaving just because we didn't want to spend our whole weekend listening to this couple fight. But it was still
rested. You look good. You look rested. You look ready to attack the week. And let's Signal, I'm going to throw it over to you for the weather report. But before we do, I want to give a huge, massive shout out to today's partner of the show, Live Art, and their upcoming mint this Wednesday with artist Chris Levine. There's a bunch of pinned tweets up at the top for anyone that wants to check it out, as well as a YouTube description for anyone listening. You can just go click that to go learn more about it. But Live Art is a global Web3 platform for art, and they have the goal of introducing and onboarding the world's best traditional artists to Web3. You may remember them. We've had them on the show twice before. They did a drop with Human June. You remember that one? That was a classic.
That one did really well.
Fantastic drop. They've been crushing it, and they have another one with Chris Levine this Wednesday. Nick?
Real quick, just letting you know, when you talk into the microphone, if you direct it towards your mouth, there's no world where having a side angle of the microphone makes sense. So you should speak into the, not the side, directly into the front of the microphone. Just letting you know that, Clemente.
Like this?
If you want to learn more about the upcoming drop, make sure to follow Live Art on X. @LiveArtX. They're also up on the stage with us. We're going to be talking to them later on in the show at 10 a.m. They're going to be joining us. We're very excited to learn more about the collection. But you can also, they're doing an exclusive giveaway, a pre-mint giveaway, 25 allowless spots only for the Nifty listeners. The link's pinned up top. The link's in the YouTube description, but you can enter to get an allowless for the upcoming drop on Wednesday. Super exciting stuff. It's going to be a 500-piece collection. It features 500 unique one-of-one NFT artworks, and it comes with a signed print, which we are super excited about, and we'll be talking to them later on in the show. But Signal, whenever you are ready for the weather report, take it away.
Absolutely, guys. Today is Monday, January 29th. We've got that ETH market volume coming in at 21 million. Solana market volume at 7 million. If you look at the leaders, you've got Pudgy Penguins. They're down. They're down to under 16 ETH. You've got Miladies. They're also down 10%. Baby Beers, they're actually up about 50%. And Rek Guy is also up to 0.6 ETH floor. Over the weekend, the top four stories. Well, firstly, it was meme coin mania over on Solana as Jupiter Exchange tests meme coin when was launched in preparation for their Jupiter token launch on Wednesday. Despite the very rocky and volatile start, WEN has officially done a 3x since its launch, with a fully diluted market cap of 170 million and over 600,000 votes claiming that airdrop. Later this afternoon, all unclaimed WEN will be burnt from the circulating supply. Over on Pudgy Penguin side, obviously big news. They allowed to launch a Project Overpass, which allows big and little Pudgy holders to submit their NFTs to open licensee for Pudgy's Toys Season 2. And if you get picks, you're going to receive the royalty payment, which is dependent on how many Pudgy rods you have. This was obviously a sell the news event. However, as many big holders took the opportunity to dump their Penguins into blur bids, causing Penguins to dump down to 15.8 ETH. Over onto OpenSea News, and potentially they were looking for an acquisition, but that news went viral after an interview with their CEO was published. The CEO came out and responded that the article was taken out of context and has no plans on being acquired. Despite this, comment all over Twitter called for OpenSea to be sold to an Asia-based company, redomicile, and then drop that token that we've all been waiting for. And then lastly, one of the biggest mints in recent months will be happening today, obviously, is Quantum Cat. 3,000 cats are going to be able to be minted at 12 p.m. Eastern for the allow list, and that has a hefty mint price of 0.1 BTC, which is over $4,000, but obviously expected to sell out. If the sellout is successful, the company behind Taproot Wizards will have raised over $12 million. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you folks in the studio.
Ooh. Fantastic. Let's go. You like that finish, Nick? Wow. Yeah,
did we do that?
No, that was signal.
I did Signal, that. You were doing the audio, the music.
Wow, DJ skills.
That DJ skills was nice.
You got to drop the beat, like you got to drop it. You know, it's like,
let's go. Some updates from the Nifty Daily. I'm fired up right now. First story: Sydney Sweeney was hacked. Celebrity. She was taking over Twitter. She tweeted out a meme coin called Milk.
Oh, so that wasn't actually her.
It was
Nick. Her. She did not actually say that. I have the best tits in crypto now, Nick.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't follow her very closely, but I do remember the show. What was the show that
Euphoria?
Made Euphoria. So I just did not watch that. I just assumed that maybe this is maybe she's just that's
her. I'm getting the masses.
You know,
the crazy thing is this thing was up for and check out the price action on this. How about a pump and dump? You know what I'm saying? This was right when she tweeted it, and it was up for literally like 24 hours. She was posting on Instagram. I don't even think she knew she was hacked on Twitter. She deleted the tweet 24 hours later. Kind of rough, but we have next story is flooring. Free Lunch Capital tweeted that he's thinking of doing an airdrop of the Flooring Protocol token before the Flooring Protocol governance goes live, which is interesting. We had Frank from D-Gods trying to get some D-Gods Max Aloe, as Bunny says. But
it was quite thirsty. I'm going to be honest. That engagement felt very thirsty. You know what I'm saying? It was saying, like, hey, let's rally behind it. Like, isn't there some way to, like, and I don't understand why was it projects all jumping into that? Like, is that the medium through it? That's not even what he said here.
No, it's governance. That's the thing.
So it's just an airdrop. It's not saying this tweet was not, we want to partner with projects, right?
Yeah.
No.
So I don't understand what was the momentum behind people doing that. Like, I don't
free
get
free money, Nick.
Anything for free money.
It's that simple. Literally does not matter. Free money. That's it. That's all we want.
I hear Bodagos are in conversations with Free Lunch Capital. I don't know if that's
actively discussing, Nick. We just haven't disclosed this. Totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're going to get Max Aloe for sure. Not even a question about it, frankly. We're getting that Max Aloe, you know what I'm saying? Rollbit announced that they've broken a new record for their sportsbook 24-hour revenue. They generate over $1.5 million in revenue, and they subsequently burned 0.1% of the RLB token supply in a single day. So they made some sweet cash. I feel bad for everyone that they must have been betting on the Lions. You know what I'm saying, for the NFC Championship. But the Rollbit token did have
or the Ravens, Clemente, or the Ravens,
or the Ravens. I cannot believe. So you can see I had a little bit of a pump there. I've been eyeing this token, Nick. I know you've been talking about it as well. Do you own any of this Rollbit token? It's up 22% in the last 7 days.
I don't. What's interesting is, like, it's pretty clear that token supply does have some impact, but it doesn't have a sufficient enough impact to make the price go up. This is, I will say, though, I think the burning of stuff is something that requires, it plays out over the long term. What it means is, like, when the pumps pump, you get more action on that inevitably because there's less supply. But ultimately, in a market like this, the supply is so large that like 3.2 billion of these tokens until like the day, like,
yeah,
you got a long ways to go before the burning actually like comes into play here. But I do like it from like sort of a longer term perspective. It is interesting what they're doing. They do have an actual business. So why would like it? It seems like an interesting token to have exposure to. I don't own any though. One of the downsides with it, it's an ERC-20 token, right?
It's also on Solana.
It's also on Sol. Yeah, there's an SPL as well.
Well, that's quite interesting. I don't know if you saw, and I don't know if it's in the newsletter, Clemente, that yesterday Solana, number one action on DEXs, had the largest volume of any chain.
It was not in the newsletter. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. It will not happen again. As the up-and-coming newsletter writer of NFTs, it will not happen again, I promise you. So it will be on tomorrow, if we're still talking about it. Last story, we had Backpack say that they will be Backpack Exchange, to clarify, that they're going to be listing the Jupiter token upon launch on January 31st. Things are heating up for this token. And we can actually just jump right into that, actually, as far as when we get into the discussion of the show. Easy, let's talk WEN token, WEN coin. I know you were out in your golfing extravaganza. You weren't maybe in the trenches as much until you got back to your home base. What'd you make of the WEN token? What do people need to know about it? And what were your kind of takeaways from it?
Well, Clemente, I feel good about it. You know, I didn't claim it day one because I was, you know, hitting the links, seeing the Gators, you know, pretty good. But I actually felt good not claiming it. I had some, like, reaction that it'd probably end up pumping after the initial profit taking, which I think Jupe is going to do the exact same thing. We see it with every single airdrop on Sol. They get the token. They sell the token. Token inevitably pumps. We saw it with Pith. We saw it with Blur on the unlock. Like, anytime there's an airdrop, you know people are going to sell it right away and try to capitalize as quickly as possible. And if it's a good token, it's going to end up moving higher. WEN is by the Ovals team, which has the Flooring Protocol like product on Solana. But this is the first meme token to launch on Jupiter. So Jupiter is now rolling out with a token launch pad. Many people are speculating that the Jupe token, if staked, will give you access to future meme token drops on it, etc. But I mean, the Ovals team is extremely competent. They've done a ton of really good things. So for me, I'm just like, why not hold some of this? I think I had 9 wallets with eligibility.
Dude,
yeah, so any wallet that used Jupiter at any point got it. So like my BonkBot wallet got it, my Saga got it, ton of different hot wallets got it.
So it's already been airdropped?
No, you have to claim it. So Nick, I'll message you it right now. It's actually, if you just go to jupe.ag, you can claim it right on there. There's a little button at the top that says WEN by Ovals on Jupiter's LFG launchpad. You, Nick, you have 1.5 hours to claim this before they burn supply.
Hey, get on it.
Easy.
I just claimed mine this morning on everything because I didn't have access to my wallets.
Easy. What's your expectation for what you think this the Jupe airdrop is going to do for the Solana ecosystem? Because we're obviously this anticipation around Blast, but what's your anticipation for the Jupe?
This is going to be probably the biggest liquidity injection for Solana ever, like hands down ever. There's only going to be 1.7 billion tokens circulating, and we've finally got details on when the next phase is going to happen. Meow, who's the founder, you got to love the name. He just did an in-person interview with Luke Belmar, if you're familiar with him, on YouTube, where they actually discussed everything. And he said that the next chapter for Jupiter won't happen until January of next year. So this isn't going to be some constant unlock. There's going to be a year between each of these, which in my opinion is like, that's the most bullish thing for this first unlock ever. Like, literally ever. A lot of people, at first I was like, I don't think this goes to $1. Now I'm like, this very well could trade at $1, which is crazy, which would have its circulating market cap at 1.7 billion, which is crazy. Like, and that's not unheard of. I think right now OTC at 70 cents, it's trading at about 7 billion, which is 1 billion higher than Uniswap. So I'm looking at stuff like that to try to understand some of this. I'm personally excited, and I'm probably biased because I have a lot of tokens. If it trades at $1, it's like a 6-figure airdrop, which is absurd. No. And it's purely because I got to use Jupiter for the last 2 years on Solana. Like, it's purely just volume-based and historical value-based, which is crazy. And I'm not the only one. Like, there's people who, I know one person who has potentially to receive, I think, 600,000 tokens across wallets, which is crazy. And like, it's nothing about this was like farming. Like, that was the crazy part, was when they announced the logistics of it, It was purely if you've just been truly using Jupiter and swapping in your wallets or using it on Jupiter and actually swapping on their website. Now they also have JLP, which is their perp token, which I think a lot of people are kind of sitting on and waiting. I think that one is one that's going to surprise a lot of people because that's how you provide liquidity to the perpetual trading, so leverage trading on Jupiter. And that JLP token, I think you will see some liquidity flow from Jupe to that because people are going to be degens and leverage trade. I think some NFTs will see some legs, but I think a lot of this will flow back to Solana, personally, just the underlying token.
And which NFTs within Solana do you think that liquidity will inject into?
I'm biased, so I have to say dogs, you know, like personally. Obviously, but outside of dogs, I think Mad Lads make a lot of sense. I think Klaino's just had an incredible town hall last week. That, I think, is going to do really, really well. Magic Tickets are interesting to me here, and same with Tensorians. Just on the back of Magic Eden's partnership with Non-Fungible DAO dropping the NFT ticker in the near future, too. So a lot of people are speculating on what you receive if you receive an airdrop for that. Tensorians getting some sell pressure here because of what they've done with their own points. Parcel is really interesting. That's at 15 SOL now, all-time high, and that's real-world asset leverage trading. So like these plays that have points and potential tokens, I think you're going to continue to see the cascade of people moving to that. I think what's going to surprise a lot of people is instead of using Radium, which is like the popular LP providing, or Orca to provide a liquidity pool, there's a new one called Meteora.ag, which is getting a ton of traction. It's like Uniswap V3 for liquidity providing. So if you end up taking your Jupiter and want to provide liquidity to try to earn fees, I think Meteora is where you're going to see a lot of that because Meteora has already said, yeah, we're going to inevitably have a token if you use the platform. So a lot of people are trying to maximize how they're going to be using this capital to continue to expand it, whether it's through airdrop farming on marketplaces, because we know two are coming, airdrop farming on liquidity sites, because we know that those are coming, or the degens who are going to leverage trade and chase basically everything, you know?
What is Meteora's website?
It's meteora.ag. So let me send Meteora. I'll send it right.
app.meteora.ag.
Yeah, I don't spell good.
Okay, so this works. I just picked up a few hundred dollars of this WEN token, apparently. Did not realize that I had that.
So, Nick, fun fact, the day of claim, it was worth $35 per wallet. It's just been absolutely sending over the last 48 hours. So it's up 3x if you didn't sell it.
Have you sold yours yet?
I haven't sold any.
Well, I'm consolidating them all into one wallet and then I'll make a decision.
Yeah.
I do think WEN is pretty, what's the market cap of WEN right now? I feel like it's like 170 million. Oh, okay. I think there's some other opportunities here, but, like, is WEN going to be bigger than WIF and Bonk? Ultimately you're looking for the next Bonk with a lot of these different things. I'm not quite sure where I think that this is going to go. I got distracted thinking through, there was one other thing that you just mentioned, in terms of airdrops and
liquidity
now
liquidity providing, airdrop farming, NFT marketplaces.
Oh my God. There was one more piece of alpha from the weekend and I'm blanking on what it is. Oh dude, your magic ticket. So the magic ticket, the price is up there. I tried market making it and for some reason it just didn't sell any of them. I lucked out. So it turns out that
probably got diamonds from it too.
Well, it's not clear that I got any diamonds, to be completely honest. Like I made an offer, but my diamonds have not increased at all. So I'm trying to figure out what happened here. Or it looks like I've made 117 diamonds over the week, which is not that much.
You know, you got to start somewhere. Real quick, I have a little bit of breaking news brought to us by Bunny, our senior breaking news correspondent. Lazy Lions have announced that new leaders have taken over. An acquisition has been announced, a little hostile takeover. And then they go, check out the full announcement in Discord. Why don't you just tell us who it is on Twitter? So we're going to be on the scene. We're going to keep you guys updated. We're going to go investigate the Discord, see who the new leaders are.
Do you not want to hit the breaking news sound effect for that?
I don't have it in this Rodecaster. I will add it. And hey, and guess what? To everyone listening, Lazy Lions have been acquired. New leaders have been announced. And guess what? The new leaders, when we find out who they are, it's going to be in the newsletter tomorrow. Get ready.
Why aren't you in the Discord right now checking?
Why not put it on the Thursday newsletter, Clemente? You got the breaking news motivation of someone who's been like stuck on an island for like a month, basically. That seems to be how we're doing breaking news over here. Jeez Louise.
What's up, buddy?
If you're still in the Lazy Lions Discord, there's something seriously wrong with
you. Yeah. Yeah. Who's in that? Let's be honest. That's a great point. But we're gonna be investigating. We're gonna be checking out the scoop. We're gonna be getting the price action update. Before we wrap up, anything meme coin, Jupiter, when anything left that you guys wanted to bring up?
Don't sell your Jupiter right when you get it. That's my play. That's my thesis. I'm like 24, 48 hours seems to every single time make a new high. And I'd rather just sit on this. Jupiter actually feels good comparatively to a meme token. You know, it seems like, the number one DEX across all cryptocurrencies right now is going to have its Uniswap moment for what we saw in ETH. And if you didn't see that, it was a $20 billion injection into Ethereum.
In terms of airdrop, so if I got this WEN token, is there a good chance I'm getting some Jupe?
There's a good chance. You can check the Solana airdrop checker on those wallets too, and it'll tell you. The very first tab is, I just shared it in the private chat. We've shared this one before too, solana-airdrop-checker.soulworks.dev. You don't have to connect a wallet. There's no connecting wallet, by the way, so just be conscious. It's a copy-paste of wallet addresses, and you can do 5 at a time, and it'll tell you the exact amount of Jupiter that you're getting per wallet.
Last time I checked, it said 0, so that's...
Check the wallets, though. The thing is, when was based on like later use of Jupiter too. It was basically like, if you've used Jupiter, we reward you. Whereas Jupiter's snapshot happened last year.
I got 0 Jupe coming.
Easy. Are the Solana, are the Sargaphone Genesis holders getting Jupe?
So not confirmed yet. There's speculation because they did get WEN for doing nothing. It was just given to them.
I got WEN on that wallet?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You got WEN on that wallet. Oh, you got like another $130.
So just so we track this, because I really want to see if you get over the 5,000. How much have you claimed so far on the phone from airdrops?
3,400.
Yeah, 1 month into NFTs, 2024, and you're already
NFTs,
at 3,400.
Airdrops, yeah. All the stuff on it is from that. So what else we get? We got Bonk on there. We got those Saga Monks. That alone could have given you $1,800, like plain and simple. And then Bonk could have given you another 1,000. So it really depends on where you sold it. But right now I'm at about 33. Let me check. I think it's like 33.27 is where I'm at right now. Yeah. 33.27.61.
So if those phones are still going on eBay for $2,000, it's actually still up. It's still up. Given there's another 11 months of the year, very likely you're going to exceed $5,000 on your bet. And anyone who buys it will probably make more than $2,000. I'm actually considering potentially getting one off eBay. Because I'm so annoyed that I didn't make the cut and Nick did, and he still hasn't been able to claim his Bonk probably.
Wait, anyway, I got the Bonk and I sold it, Signal. But in terms of the WEN, do you have to still claim it on your Bonk phone, or should it have been airdropped?
So you have to still claim it. When you actually go into the wallet on that, the very first tab on Phantom Wallet in your Saga is actually the WEN claim.
Yeah.
So shout out Phantom for doing that. They're doing a good job with kind of popping that up. You just hit the little browser and literally the first tab is WEN claim. You click that and it takes you right to the site.
Just more money coming in, dude. It's like Signal. What does it feel like watching me just receive hundreds of dollars over and over and over again on each show? Thanks to owning this Saga phone. How does that feel?
It's because you're Pisces, right? And you've just got that Pisces energy of just like money rains, and it's really annoying me. Look, I made a mistake. I missed the one show where you guys dropped the alpha. I listened to the recording the day after, and that is what I put. That is why my order is late. But 2024, my thesis is just stay in your lane and you will dominate. I've got my lane. It's going to go faster than your lane, Nick. I know at the end of this year, I'll make more cash. I just happen to have missed the phone. So I'm cool.
Nick, you got 30 minutes to lock in those claims, by the way.
I got all of them. The last one that I'm trying to get is the
Bonk Bop. Did you get your Bonk Bop?
I already have the Bonk.
No. Bonk Bot. You've used Bonk Bot, right? In Telegram, the bot. That has a WEN claim also.
So how do you get that
let's
one?
Let's not distract him.
No, we need to. No, Clemente, we have to. He has 24 minutes before they burn the rest of the supply.
So how do you do it with BonkBot?
So in BonkBot, what you got to do is hit backslash, right? Home. Take you to home. Click wallet. Then on wallet, press export private key. Do not share that with anybody. Don't share with anyone.
Post that in the comments on YouTube.
Yes. And then you import that into your wallet using whatever wallet you use. Import it into there.
So it's not backslash, by the way. That's /home.
I know. Okay. Do you tell me this every time? I know. Sorry.
So then you click on the wallet.
Yep. Press the little wallet button.
And then you do.
Mente's loving this.
Export. Dude,
yeah. We're burning. We're hot on the press. I'm getting emails. I'm getting messages of the Lazy Lions acquisition. We got news of who has acquired it.
And what's going on?
We're trying to get hot on the case. It's going to be featured on the newsletter tomorrow. And you guys are just doing some nerd stuff trying to claim money, dude. Let's
go. You know the best part is everyone listening now who didn't realize but is using BonkBot is following these instructions and making $113, Clemente.
We've given a bunch of people money on this show, Clemente. You're welcome. And you're busy not actually giving any context whatsoever of the Lazy Lions news.
Okay, here we have the four new Lazy Lion people. We have at Kaneko, at Sola King, T Lee, and Local Crypto God. Wow, real good names here. These are the people that have acquired Lazy Lions. Do we know anything about them? Absolutely not. Was there any more context provided in the Discord announcement? Zero. Other than these guys are going to be basically owning the social media aspect of it. They're going to bring a unique set of skills and a fresh vision to steer Lazy Lions onto a bright and prosperous future. Okay, fantastic Discord announcement that you couldn't share on Twitter. That was cool. Lazy Lions are up 15% on the day, I will say. They're up 63% in the last 7 days to a 0.27 ETH floor price. I don't think there's anything else to add here, but Nick, as someone who is a seasoned veteran of acquisitions of the VC world, you know this type of process like the back of your hand. What do you make of this acquisition? Are you bullish on Lazy Lions now?
Well, Clemente, I've been busy trying to collect all of my WEN token over the past couple of minutes, but let me tell you what's going on here. And I can't get into my Saga phone thing because of dry fingers, and it doesn't work with the freaking fingerprint thing now. I don't know what my seed phrase is for that, and I'm afraid that I'm going to lose out on this opportunity to throw $100 down. So in terms of this acquisition, Lazy Lions, do we know? And so tell me, who is the person that got this?
It was...
Good question, Nick.
Hell yeah, brother. No, it's Kaneko, Sola King, T Lee, and Local Crypto God. That's all. They just said their usernames. They didn't say anything else about their background, anything they're doing, but they did say they're bringing a fresh vision to the Lazy Lions brand and are going to be running the social media and taking
over. Bearish.
Okay.
This is bearish. Okay. So if we don't know anything about who this person is, this is just very difficult for us to get.
Now, Nick, what about, so you see Lazy Lions, they've rallied a little bit. They're sitting at a 0.27 ETH floor price. When you consider deploying your capital, what would you buy a Lazy Lion here at 0.27 ETH? You think that would be a good move?
I'm not buying a Lazy Lion here. This is not the action that I'm looking for. The history of this chart, it pumped already into the speculation on this news. It's been down only ever since. Dude, it's hard to turn this thing around. It's people from the community that got this, right? What happened? What was the other acquisition that we saw? Remember Guttercat Gang? How's that floor looking? Can you pull that one up?
Bunny, how's Guttercat Gang doing?
Not good. Also, I did a deep dive on these new founders, right? They do look like, I mean, they all have Lion PFP, so I'm assuming they're like OG members. Two of them don't follow me. One of them has me blocked, and one of them follows me. So that's as far as I got on my research so far.
That's pretty good. That's like what we call a nice, diverse founder group, is what I'd say.
A nice spread, dude. Yeah.
Bullish. That's bullish that they have Bunny. One of them has Bunny blocked. You know, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy, right? He's steering the ship. He's got a clear vision of where he wants to operate, and he doesn't want Bunny getting involved in it at all. Fantastic. Okay, well, I don't have anything else to add to the late.
I'm interested, like on a scale of how bearish this is this like as bearish as a Valhalla game keyboard or bearish like a rug? I'm just trying to get like a spectrum of like how
less bearish,
this is
than a Valhalla rug keyboard.
Okay,
because you got to think they took $1.5 million and made 300 keyboards. Personally, I think you do a little more damage than that, but I think it's less or more bearish than a rug. More bearish than a rug. Because you're taking over this project, I don't think there's going to be much capital in the treasury. And now you have four cooks in the kitchen. versus one. But luckily, I think they have four separate NFT projects, so each one could essentially take their own here. Lazy Lions, the Cubs, Bungalows, which I'm a huge fan of, man. Nothing like some nice banner art, and then a Bitcoin collection. So, hey, you know?
Well, we'll see if they can turn the ship around. We have some Lazy Lions coming up. They're commenting. We also have some comments. I apologize to everyone listening. We had three different people comment saying they made over $100 thanks to Easy's BonkBot Alpha, and some were telling me to be quiet and shut my trap is what they were saying to let them claim their bonk. Hey.
I was telling you that we were making the people's money, and you're over here like, guys, we have to talk Lazy Lions. But we're walking. I'm getting tagged nonstop. There's at least 10 people who claim their BonkBot Ala. You know, it's, kudos to them. Shout out to them.
It'll be in the news for tomorrow.
Good thing the burn happens in 18 minutes. I can't wait.
We'll have it in the newsletter. Yeah, some people are like, hey, thank you. I just claim my BonkBot. I am for the people, just not for the, you know, I want to get the show going. I want to talk Quantum Cats. This is a big, big mint, quite possibly the biggest mint we've had in the last 3 months. We have the team, the Taproot Wizards team, attempting to raise $12 million today, starting at 12 p.m. Eastern with the allowless mint of 0.1 Bitcoin, which is a little over $4,000. Before we get into some price predictions, Easy, I want to throw to you. I want to see what your thoughts are. Your boy's getting involved. I'm getting my hands dirty. I'm splitting a Quantum Cats mint seven ways with people in the Bodago's Discord. We're getting in on a multi-sig wallet, and we're splitting. I'm putting like $500 into this Quantum Cat mint. We're going to try to mint this thing at public. Shout out Got Bounce and the crew. So I'm excited. I'm going to be getting my hands dirty with this thing. But Easy, what do you think of a price action-wise what this thing could debut at? A, do you think it's going to sell out, which I think we're assuming it will.
Clemente, it's going to sell out. That's crazy. Like this, I think this sells out literally instantly. I think we're going to see like a 2 hour block time because everyone's going to be trying to ape. Dude, this is the first event that you have right now to get some level of exposure to the Taproot ecosystem. You know what I mean? So like, to me, why would like, dude, this thing's going to cook. Like, how do these not trade half a Bitcoin each easily? Like literally easily. I think it's like such a no brainer that they're going to be one of the top collections immediately day one. Taproot already raised capital. Udi and Eric have done a ton of stuff to try to push Bitcoin ahead. They've literally said, we just want to break Bitcoin. Like that's like their goal is to just try new things and get innovative and actually like improve Bitcoin, which I think is awesome.
Break Bitcoin. That's something that the Bitcoin community, I'm sure.
The Laser Eyes. If you've heard Udi go on the rants against the Laser Eyes, it's like one of the funniest things in the world. Like he like really goes back and forth with them. And him doing this Quantum Cats thing is like, kind of funny because he's going after that Luke guy who ate a cat. And that's kind of his whole thing. Like his marketing campaign was literally to join spaces and yell at this guy about why he shouldn't eat cats. Like it's the most absurd thing in the world.
Yeah, everyone
also, given what the one of one went for, the $254,000, like that was probably above most people's expectations. And I know you said 500,000, but then you changed it to 300,000. So you were right on the second time. But considering the one of one managed to hit, and I think the estimation was about $15,000 on
10 to 20K estimation.
Sorry, 10 to 20K on the auction web on the auction website. And I know they always give values which are significantly lower, but to give a valuation which is like over 10 times lower is probably even them underestimating like what this could potentially have, what this could potentially mean. Also, I think what will be really interesting is that I feel like the cats will set the benchmark for the Wizards. So one of my theses is that over the long term, I do think the Wizards will trade higher than Punks. I don't think immediately out of the gate, but I think that collection and that team as founders and given where they are sit in the ecosystem, definitely have the potential to do that over the long term. And I think it'll be one of the highest PFP projects across all chains, for sure. If like number one, I'm going to say it now, this is my out for lunch take, that this will be the highest trading PFP across all chains, Taproot Wizards, and the cats set the benchmark for that. This will definitely mint out. I agree with Easy. It will mint out in a couple of minutes. And anyone who is minting it won't even blink that it's over $4,000. It's definitely going to cook.
Wow. So you're saying it is a smaller supply, right? It's either, I think it's 4,000 Wizards.
3,000? Oh, sorry. Wizards or the cats?
3,333 cats. I don't know if it's 4,444 Wizards. We have seen an Ordinals pullback going into this mint, which has been interesting. The Bitcoin Puppets,
which were dunking on Bunny and I. They were they were talking a whole lot of smack. I received
they loved me and Nick. They were huge fans of us.
Vulgar, very vulgar DMs, questioning my intelligence, my IQ. It was a lot when these things reached 0.06 Bitcoin. Hey, look who's laughing now. These things are down 50%. Bunny and I are sitting.
No,
pretty.
But Clemente, it's really normal to see a pullback across all collections in an ecosystem when a big mint is coming. I remember when Moonbirds were minting like for 2.5 ETH, and you saw a big reallocation of money where people were just selling everything in order to get that 2.5 ETH. So I think, you know, if people are bullish on certain collection ordinals, this is a good time to pick up whatever you're bullish on as that capital rotates into the cats.
So, Nick, you said this is a bullish pullback for the Bitcoin puppets?
Dude, definitively, these things don't do, like, people have short-term memory in the NFT space, basically. Wait till they get another airdrop, suddenly they pump again. Look, people are just migrating money from one place to the next. It's also a lot of meme coin action going on. I think there's FOMO all over the place, and everyone's looking for the next pump, trying to make a quick... They're just trying to collect their WEN token because they only have 15 minutes left. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I'm doing. And I think a lot of other people are going through similar things. And what are they doing? They're just moving money around. So I think it's a bullish pullback. Dude, these puppets are not disappearing all of a sudden. Even though, despite the people that were hating on me, telling me that I never say anything useful, there is some validity to that. There is some validity. But I was bullish on Bitcoin puppets. They called you Pio, Clemente.
They called me a lot of things that I can't repeat. I would have been happy if they called me Pio, frankly.
The DMs?
A lot of, DMs, comments. They made you know how you got your little Ordinal Maxi Biz compilation video? They made something similar with me. And it wasn't enjoyable. It hurt my feelings, frankly. I didn't enjoy it at all. I don't know where the Bitcoin puppets go from here. Ordinals. Easy. So you think last thing on Quantum Cats, you think these go to, you said 0.5 Bitcoin right off the bat. We're setting that.
I don't know if it's right off the bat, but I think we will see them at a 0.5 Bitcoin floor. Yes. Like, I'm not saying like gates open and they just shoot to 0.5, but I think 0.5 is inevitably where they go.
Got it. Okay. Well, we'll see how it plays out. I am very interested to see how that thing goes. And I hope I can mint today at public. You know, we got bounce in the trenches trying to fast gas that thing, get it to go through. I might own 1/8 of a Quantum Cat by tomorrow morning.
Oh, are you splitting it with got bounce?
That's what I was saying. We did a multi-sig between seven other Bodagos. We're going to try to mint this.
You've been in the trenches in the Discord, yeah, dude. I respect it, bro. I respect it.
Clemente, I'm curious on the sell price, because your selling is not everyone else is selling. So how are you guys going to agree on what the sell point is of your 1/8 of your Quantum Cap?
So it depends on what the majority offers. So I think there's seven of us. So if four people decide on a specific sell price, we're gonna sell it at that point.
What happens if you lose the gas?
I don't know. But we'll see. just spray and pray, dude. We'll see how it plays out. I'm very interested. And so yeah, we're gonna start listing it at one Bitcoin, and then we're gonna lower it from there depending on where we go. Five out of eight votes will sell. That's what we'll be looking for. Easy. I want to, Nick. I see you. Your arms crossed. Did you finish? Fully present on the show now. You're back.
Yeah, you do, dude. I lost my password on the Saga phone. It was a whole thing. I had to add another fingerprint on it. Signal was about to be real happy that I missed out.
I was really hoping you would.
Don't worry. I got it. I got the $100. Everyone is really excited about that. I'm pretty sure I got just suddenly $400 or $500 just now across all my wallets. So just very exciting times over in the WEN token world. This is just another airdrop, just another day, you know? And I need help paying my rent. So the more airdrops, the better. What was the question you were going to have there?
No, nothing. I just want to see if you had any insight, but I don't think you're very focused. Easy. You see what happens when you distract Nick for a couple $100, dare I say. You know, we lost his presence. But frankly, I think the show is better off with him focused on that drop. But I want to talk Barachain, Easy, because I think this is interesting. I don't know too much about him. You think Nick knows anything about those? Definitely not. But Nick, for a little bit of context, we had these Bears just dominating over the weekend. They are so easy. I want you to explain to it, but provide a little bit of context. Big movers today. We had a bunch of bear-related NFTs basically pump anywhere between 40 to 50% over the weekend. One of them getting as high as 16 ETH, 16.6 ETH for these baby bears. What? And I believe it's for an upcoming airdrop on Bearachain. Easy. What do we need to know about these?
So I missed these baby bears, 16 ETH. What the hell? 569 supply. I'm not a huge fan of the low supply stuff. It's kind of my issue. Quinta, can we take a peek at activity by sales here?
Yeah.
So if you just go to sales, I would just like to see. Yeah. So, okay. Okay. You could have gone back, but it's all right. We'll get to the next one. It's a lot of the same wallet. If you look, someone is, so this one looks a little washy to me. We're seeing a lot of the same wallet addresses buy most of these and push that higher.
Was anybody actually talking about this?
So Bearachain, yes. There's Bearachain Bears, which a lot of people have been buying. I've even had people in my DMs who told me I should have been paying attention because I did bring them up and talk about them, I want to say last week when they were 2 or 3 ETH, and they got as high as 5. And it's for speculation of an airdrop on the Bearachain, which a lot of people are setting up nodes for. It's like another one of these big airdrop plays here because I guess the nodes can literally run on like a freaking toaster oven if you wanted to. It's like really, really low intensity, really easy to set up. And a lot of people are trying to do so. And yeah, it's VC heavy. So people think that this airdrop could be very, very fruitful to a lot of people based entirely on the fact that it's a lot of cash being injected, and a lot of people hoping that that cash goes back to the early users.
Absolutely. Well, it's very interesting to see that. Is there any, you wouldn't get involved at this price, right?
No, God, no. Like at this point, I would rather set up nodes and versus spending 5 ETH on something. If I'm spending 5 ETH on something, dude, I think I'd buy a mutant at this point. That's where I'm looking. I think I'd buy a mutant.
You're interested in mutants?
I'm getting interested. Yeah. Yeah.
Bunny, what do you think about that?
It's a no-brainer right now.
We'll have Daniel Allegri on the show tomorrow. We'll ask DA. We'll be like, yo, DA.
Yeah, DA, what's the price target? What's the price? what point are you buying mutants?
You buying these mutants, DA? Before
we question for him, and also what we should do is we should actually get some feedback from the audience. If you have questions that you think we should add tomorrow to Daniel Allegri, post it in the replies to today's spaces or on YouTube. So you can just click the comments down in the lower right-hand side on your phone. Post the questions that you want us to ask the Yuga CEO. He's coming on the show tomorrow. We're excited to have him on. We have a number of questions we want to be asking him. Obviously, price target stuff is not something that he's probably going to comment on. But if you have other questions that you're interested, they've been sort of quiet other than the recent there was an other deed. There's been a couple of videos, and then you also have the second version of the sewer game coming
Dookie
out.
Dookie Dash.
So you got Dookie Dash coming out. And that I guess people are excited about that. I'm less bullish on that from sort of like a adoption standpoint. That said, I wouldn't be surprised if they invest in actual installs on that app. But they don't have like in-app purchases they do.
Incorrect. They will. Really? Yes. You will have in-app purchases. The other thing, and since the NDA was only 6 days, we can share everything and anything now. The benefit is they're also going to have UGC. So user-generated content. There's some discussions potentially. They asked if we would be interested in potentially getting a dog in the game. I said yes. But now I'm waiting for some next steps. So Bodoga might be in Dookie Dash. Maybe. No confirmation, but I was talking to some of the people over there. Got to see what the next steps might be and what that would kind of have to look like. But they're really focused on UGC, so anybody can create assets, characters. You can change the motorbike you're on and some of these other things, and you actually get revenue from that. In-app purchases, you can still use ApeCoin if you want to use a wallet, but they will also allow for credit card purchases as well.
Okay, well, that sounds exciting. And if there's credit card purchases, then that means they could be running installs, which would be the first time that there's actually like a model here for them to utilize from the traditional gaming sense. Would not be surprised if Daniel, who we're having on tomorrow,
DA
is behind some of those initiatives there.
He's going to drop some of that sweet, sweet alpha. But speaking of alpha, we want to give a quick shout out to our partners of today's show, LiveArt, who have an upcoming drop this Wednesday in partnership with the artist Chris Levine. So if you don't know who LiveArt is, they've been on the show a couple times before, and we're going to be talking to them in just a few minutes. They're a global Web3 art platform. Their goal is to onboard Web2 artists, traditional artists, into Web3, and they're doing that once again with Chris Levine, who we're going to be learning more about, with a 500 collection, one of one drop. And it comes with a signed print, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. If you want to see a work that LiveArt has done in the past, you may have remembered them from the Yuming June drop, which was in August of last year. That was a fantastic collection. It performed very well. And we were very excited to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the drop
project again.
Yuming June. I'll send you the link to it in OpenSea, and we'll also put it in the newsletter for tomorrow.
It's called FYI. Boundless by Yuming June. And the Boundless. The one that's minting today is Icons, or tomorrow. Sorry, tomorrow. It's tomorrow. Wednesday, Icons by Chris Levine. Wednesday,
January 31st. It's Wednesday.
My whole day's messed up.
Yeah, we'll get through it. It's a little Monday. But yeah, you guys can check that out. And hey, shout out to LiveArt. They're doing an exclusive allowless giveaway for us. You're giving us 25 allowless spots for the morning show. You can go to the pre-mint, either pinned up top in the Twitter space or in the YouTube description to enter. And we're going to be talking to them in just a few minutes. To Boris, the CEO of LiveArt, about their platform. We're super excited to be talking about them very soon. But just to wrap up, so Barrachain NFTs, easy. What do you, all NFTs as a whole, are you paying attention to any of them? When I mean alts, I'm talking Say, AVAX, and I think there was a Base NFT also gaining traction this weekend.
And Sui.
Yeah, so I've stayed away from Sui. I like Say. Base, the only thing I'm really interested on Base is Play Cambria, which is like a game, like an RNG-based game. I haven't been paying too much attention to the NFT side of things over there, but I just, you know, I don't have time to look at, I don't have time to look at Barrachain. I just have been busy. And to be honest, if I'm airdrop farming anything right now, it's marketplaces, because like I still am looking at that side of things versus chains, which are starting to get a little bit crowded, whereas the marketplace kind of race right now is it's quiet, it's slow. You're not seeing a ton of speculation on NFTs. Speculation's all on meme coins and upcoming L2s, L3s, L1s, which is where everyone's farming right now. So I'm like, all right, let's zig while they zag and try to capitalize on some early plays.
And you're talking about, when you're talking about marketplace, you're talking about like on Solana or Ethereum. Yeah.
So okay. Flooring protocol is really interesting to me here. You can provide liquidity and tokens there. Magic Eden is hands down the easiest. I mean, I'm looking at market share each day. Until Magic Eden's market share flips Tensor, it's not an overcrowded trade. We're sitting about 25% of market share on Magic Eden right now. Easiest way is to set up an AMM pool. And what that does is buys, sells, and makes offers. So as long as you set it up relatively close to the floor, you're hitting all three. Over the last week, I think I've made 60 or 70,000 diamonds off of like 10 Sol too. So I'm not even using a lot of capital. It's just using capital efficiently to play into this. And that's one of the best ways to do it, in my opinion. You can do the same on Tensor as well, but Tensor is still with this dominant market share. I'd rather go to the one that's essentially confirmed they're getting airdropped from non-fungible DAO, this NFT token, whereas Tensor has not confirmed the token just yet. They said they're closing season three, but we already have confirmation from Magic Eden with still a lower market share than Tensor, which makes me feel less crowded. So why would I not go there? Flooring protocol, like we also said, was pretty interesting to me now that we've seen this governance announcement. And then I'm also looking at Meteora, which announced they will have an airdrop. So if you are on the meme coin side of things, you're chasing SPLs, why not provide liquidity, earn fees, and qualify for an airdrop?
I did notice on Phantom, if you use the swap there, they seem to be integrated with Meteora.
So it depends on the token. So they're with Meteora or Jupiter. So certain tokens, the token 2022 standard or whatever the name is, super tokens, I forget what they call them now, is mostly Meteora pools, which is more similar to Uniswap V3 than V2. So if you've ever done liquidity providing on ETH, V3 is more automated versus V2 is where you set parameters. Meteora is kind of just like you throw cash into a pool. It's a combined pool and they do the rest for you. Whereas Orca is where like you can very much so define it, which is a little bit closer to Uniswap V2.
Okay.
But and before we talk to Boris here in just a second, Easy, are you touching Blur point farming at all? Or are you just staking your buying Blur and staking it?
Okay. Just staking it. Yeah, I'm not overthinking that. My trade is completely free. I have zero risk for my Blur that's staked there. Because when I bought in on that day of unlock, I forget how much at this point, but I sold half of it, recouped full cost, and left the rest. And just said, I'm going to literally just forget about this until it unlocks. there's zero risk to me. So I was like, this is the easiest way to trade this blur trade where I don't have to think about it. I literally don't have to care about price at all. And if price goes up, great. If it goes down, who cares? I'm got more than a handful of million points already. So I'm like hopeful that that gives me a nice boost because I'm hitting all the multipliers because it's been sitting for a while. I have zero cost basis on it. And if blur goes up, I make money. If blur goes down, I still make money. Like that's the crazy part. Blur could literally go to a penny and that's still profit for me on blur.
I'm hitting those multipliers like it's math class. It's not at all. You know what I'm
like
saying?
It's math class? What does that even mean?
I've been talking to someone doing research for us and he's been deep diving like fully into blur and he's like, this is more people need to be talking about this. And he was researching some of the protocols that are going to be launching on Blast. He was all over this. So we're going to be actually doing
that's
a little
why bit. I am more interested. The Blast hackathon is really interesting because they're announcing every product that's launching. So I have gone and followed most of those because it's really interesting to me. If you can be early on one of those, you know they're going to reward the shit out of people who use those. It's L2 products, dude. They're going to be chasing user numbers.
And guess what? I got a list of 10 that we're looking at. The top 10, we got a list. And we're going to be dropping that in the newsletter.
Sheesh.
So, you know, we're going to be breaking down that hackathon like it's a computer science class in high school. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be... all right.
Yeah, man. Nothing like a book fair in seventh grade. We're going to be chasing those gains.
Scholastic, actually. but anyways, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by the CEO and co-founder of LiveArt, Boris Pevsner. Boris, it's great to have you. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. Very good. Very good. Good to be back on the show.
Absolutely.
Do you have a humidifier going on there?
I do. Do you mind? Is that all right? Or does it make me look like...
Dude, keep the humidity high in there. It's dry where I'm at. And let me tell you, it's causing cracked fingers that don't let me log into my own crypto wallet. So...
Yeah, I'm in Madrid, which little known fact, it's in the middle of a desert. So you gotta keep these things on. Yeah.
Madrid is actually super hot.
Nick is a very he focuses a lot on optimization of his air quality. So you know he's a big air purifier kind of guy. So he's already a fan. But Boris, last time we talked to you was in August of 2023. You guys were getting ready to launch the Human June Kingdom of the Laughing Man Boundless collection, which ended up doing very well. A lot of people were very excited about it. Before we get people caught up to speed on what you guys have dropping on Wednesday, could you first catch us up on, A, what LiveArt is, for those that might not be aware, and then what you guys have been working on since then?
No, absolutely. If I could just a little bit about myself and how I got into this, I think that from the last time, the audience probably already remembers it, but maybe not everybody. Yeah, I'm a builder. I founded 5 tech companies across different industries: art, freight transportation, cloud computing, gaming, and of course, crypto and Web3. But I've been in the art market specifically for many, many years. In fact, one of the companies that I had built, called Collectrium, was acquired by Christie's. That's an $8 billion business in the art world. So I spent a fair bit of time in the art market, kind of helping to drag it into the digital age. And in fact, that's how I got to Web3, by way of the art world, right? And 5 years ago, when my co-founders and I saw how Web3 was beginning to transform the art market, kind of how art is created, how it's sold, how the audiences for art are expanding, that's when live art was born. And so it was born as the Web3 platform for art that is staking, bridging, migrating the art market to Web3. And so the vision for Live Art is to become a one-stop shop for art as an asset class in Web3. And that means that this is where you come to collect and trade NFTs by the top artists in the world. And we work with artists that have market caps of $100 million and up. This is where you come to trade physical art in a peer-to-peer way and a blockchain-enabled way. This is where you come to invest in and trade tokenized physical art masterpieces, something that we will be introducing later this year. And so, and this is also, you know, the place where we come to speculate on the art market by trading art indices powered by our market-leading data product. As you were bringing up the website just now, you probably saw the ticker, right? So you sort of treat art as an asset class. It's not just a collectible, it's also an investment. And that's true for both established traditional art as much as it is true for digital art. So we, there you go, right? And at the top, yeah, there is also an Arctica. So basically, yeah, there you go. And that really, it's like you can look at every artist or any even segment of the artist's output, like for instance, prints by Warhol, and understand how that artist or that artist segment on that art market segment is performing. So currently, we use this information to price NFTs, so that every time we sell an NFT by an artist, it's benchmarked to the market by that artist. So that when you buy an NFT from us, you know that you're buying into the artist's market. It's not just a speculative asset. So that's very important. And then eventually, you'll be able to just buy the index of the artist that you like or would like to follow or you think is a good investment. So that's what basically that's where we're shooting for, right? This is the home for this art as an asset class on Web3. And for the last couple of years, we've been building toward this vision. I'm really excited in particular where this year is going to take us with all of these exciting launches, plus new products for fractionalization, tokenization of art, plus, of course, launching of our own token. I'm sure we'll talk about that sometime later.
So, Boris, I actually had a question for you here.
Yeah.
Just in regards to this. So I'm not very familiar with the art side of things. So not at all. So I guess from that point, where are these data points aggregated? I see like a 10-year index. Very interested how you get this information. And how frequently is it updated and monitored? How frequently does art trade is kind of like my other question here. Absolutely.
Excellent question. So a set of questions. So number one, how big is this market? Let's start there. It's actually a $2 trillion asset class. So there's $2 trillion worth of art that is sitting in private hands and is potentially tradable. That's not the stuff that's in museums. Right, so this is privately held and potentially tradable. About 70 billion of that USD trades every year. So you could look at it in two ways. You could say, well, it's actually a lot of trading, right? 70 billion a year, all right, that's a lot. But on the other hand, relative to the $2 trillion asset class size, it's actually relatively thinly traded. And why is it so thinly traded, relatively speaking, relative to the size of the asset class? Well, because up to now, the only way to trade it has been to, you know, buy multi-million-dollar paintings or $500,000 paintings or whatever. And that really limits the participation to just a select few people who are able to afford to enter the market at those price points. Now, it's been a very well-performing asset class. In fact, the best-performing asset class, alternative asset class, for the last 20, 30 years. Hopefully crypto will do even better, but it doesn't yet have that kind of a long-term track record. So on this time scale, art is actually performing, you know, better than equities, better than real estate, better than any other alternatives. So there is a lot of interest in democratizing this asset class, right? And getting it into the hands of more people, more retail investors, not just collectors, but also investors, traders, and maybe even speculators. And so what we believe is that Web3 and Web3 community, the crypto community, is just a perfect fit for this asset class, right? Because, you know, there's already a culture of quantitative analysis of basically trading products. There is already a culture of kind of associating crypto with visual arts through NFTs. And so if it's possible to open up this asset class to the Web3 community, to the crypto community, we think it's going to do very well. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. Now, your question of how frequently it is traded, much more frequently than you think, right? So if you think about, I don't know, how often Warhol has traded, on average, it's about one or two paintings a day that get sold somewhere in the world. During auction seasons, it could be 30, 40, 50 a day. So, and all of those, like each one of these trades affects the market for the artist. It affects the overall market for art, obviously, but it also affects specifically the market for Warhol. So if you hold a Warhol painting, right, and something in Hong Kong yesterday sold at a particularly good price, whatever painting you hold or print or whatever, just increase in price. You just don't know it, right? So then the question is, how would you know it? Well, that's where the data product comes in. And so to the beginning of your question, how is this data collected? There are about 10 million data points, a little bit more now that we have, and these are transactions. This is every time a piece of art has traded in the last 30, 35 years, we have it in our database, right? So that's the base of the data. Currently, we track about 30 options in real time. So you actually get these real-time trading signals in this asset class. For all the other options, there are about 3,000. We put them up within 24 hours. So you get this real-time or quasi-real-time trading signals on everything that is going on. Then on top of it, we have a machine learning and AI layer that predicts the current market value of every painting that has ever sold. In fact, it gives you pro forma price history from the point of time when the painting was first sold to now, or you know, the last 35 years. So what that gives us the ability to do is then start aggregating these pro forma pricing, price charts for every painting into indices. There could be an index of an artist, an index of a segment of an artist, like, as I said, prints of paintings by Warhol, or entire segments of the art market, like, for instance, you know, contemporary art market or old masters or whatever, and of course, the market as a whole. So this is how the whole thing is done. We publish raw data, right, on just raw transactions. We publish indices, which is basically an aggregated view on the market from different standpoints. And then we publish a stream of essentially trading signals so that if you, you know, own a Warhol, an NFT or a physical painting, and there is a Warhol sold anywhere in the world, you will know about it. So you can decide, you know, what you want to do. You want to buy, you want to sell, you want to hold, whatever it is. So this is how the data component of it works. And we are marrying this data component with a trading platform that will allow people to invest or speculate on this asset class just like they would on anything else.
I mean, the database is a key element of your business. And I think just from a marketing standpoint at a minimum, this is data that historically has just not been accessible to the masses. And now to be able to have visibility, frankly, I think if you look at kind of how the NFT market has evolved, it's clear that visibility into the data associated with it adds ultimately to liquidity of that market. When you're able to have essentially rolled up macro, across the market aggregate data, and inevitably it drives more activity because you have more reliable price points and it's easier for humans to draw points between or a line between two points versus just going to a random auction and seeing what's going on. Over time, a lot of private market people, I think historically, have had their own private databases. And I have heard, and maybe you mentioned this on a previous show, but essentially, there are private market databases that do exist, and they're extremely expensive to get access to because it's the top collectors in the world who are looking for that information. There's also obviously specialized stuff. I think about like antiques and things like that, where there's people who are operating in specialized subsets of the market where they may be historical experts on Renaissance era, church assets, basically, like things that were inside of whether it's stained glass windows, door knockers, and other things that are within that category. But that whole space, typically it's advantage to those that have the most money in the market. But it's awesome to be democratizing, like you're saying, access to this, but also visibility is, I think, really like the biggest thing. That's what makes the NFT market what it is that you have, I mean, if you look at the personas of people who are flipping meme coins, it's everybody. So, yeah.
Well, look, there are probably, you know, a few tens of thousands participants in the, let's just call it the legacy art market. And there are how many hundreds of millions of people in the cryptosphere? You know, many more, right? So like every, probably Binance Plus has 120 million members, OKX has 50 million and so on down the line, right? So it's just a completely different, there's not one extra zero there, there are many extra zeros here. If you open up this asset class to this much wider audience, there will be, you know, really interesting things happening to it, how it's going to be repriced, how it's going to be much more liquid, much more dynamic from both collecting and investment perspective. I mean, we're very bullish on this asset class, especially given that it's much bigger than people realize. $2 trillion is a pretty big asset class.
It's not tiny. Last question from my end on this is, so when you think about like opening up that market, there's a couple of different like factors that go into it. One is information about the market, which is key. And it appears to be the area that you all are primarily focused on. There's also getting access to specific drops. So you have the drop that's coming up on Wednesday. So, and if people want to participate in that, they can. And there's links that we have published both on Twitter, pinned to the top, as well as in the comments here. But it's on the homepage of liveart.io. But like between access and then to drops, trading or like access to information, there's another area which I would say is like Masterworks of the Worlds, which are saying, hey, we're going to give you fractional ownership of these different things. Where do you think the biggest is your position? Is Live Art saying the most important aspect of this is the information, or like what is the position that you all are kind of taking at this moment?
Well, there are three components. There is information, and there is of course supply, and then there is of course demand. Right. So what we've been doing over the last couple of years is we've been building. Well, not just the technology substrate, which is quite important for both the launchpad of these projects and for tokenization, fractionalization, and for naked index trading. So for all of the things that I just mentioned, but also these three components that I just mentioned, right? So on the data side, we already talked about that. So let me talk about the supply and demand. On the supply side, if you can, you can think of, you know, these top artists and top masterpieces. So artists and masterpieces as the core IP in the space that is essentially getting monetized and is getting introduced into Web3, into the Web3 communities and crypto communities. So what we've been doing is building as broad a net as possible to catch these top artists, right? So we only work with the top 200 artists in the world, as I said, with market caps, $100 million and up. And making sure that these artists recognize the benefits to them and their careers and their markets of connecting with the crypto community in the Web3 universe is very, very important. So we've been building methods, right, and kind of approaches and use cases and a track record, most importantly, of getting artists to realize that entering Web3 is beneficial for their career and their markets. And we've been quite successful at that. You mentioned Human June, right? It was a highly successful drop. The artist is very happy. He's going to do more projects with us. I think that for a few reasons, right? Number one is that this is a new medium for the artist to explore. So the artists are always interested in that. And you can do stuff in this medium that they cannot do with just a paintbrush. So the generative things and on-chain things and interactive things, all the things that it's just new things for the artist to explore. The community. So if you think about it from the artist's perspective at this elevated level, right? So the artist who sells in multi-million dollar kind of price point doesn't really have a lot of collectors. They may have a very large market from the kind of market cap perspective, but how many collectors do they really have that are buying at that price point? Maybe a few hundred. So this medium, right, the NFTs allow artists to enter at a different price point and address a completely new audience without cannibalizing the existing audience and existing price point. And again, from the artist's careers is super important. And from the audience's perspective, it allows you to buy into the artist's market at a lower price point in a way that essentially is backed by the artist's market, right? Because we do, you can sort of compare the price of an NFT to the price of an edition print, for instance, and that would be comparable. And you know how the market for the artist is evolving because it's liquid and we track it. And so the NFTs are kind of evolving with it. So that's also important for the artist, the sort of price stability. And then, you know, there is this whole secondary market and the royalties from the secondary market, which of course are constantly under attack from all sorts of marketplaces. But I think that will sort itself out and the royalties will survive. From the artist's perspective, they don't get paid royalties on their physical artwork, and it's always been a pain point for artists, for you know, artists in this medium, obviously recording artists do get paid royalties. And so Web3 is this promised land when they're able to receive royalties for secondary market resale, and that is also attractive to them. So there is an economic incentive.
And so, speaking of that, you guys have a drop coming up this Wednesday with Chris Levine. By the way, I'm on this, and for anyone listening, if you want to enter and you're curious about this drop, we're doing a pre-mint giveaway. We're giving away 25 spots. You can enter either using the pinned tweet up top for the Twitter space or in the YouTube description. But Boris, I love the layout here for anyone listening. We're going through the Chris Levine icons collection. It's a great, what I love about it is it gives you insights on their total auction sales volume, for example, their highest sales or average trading price, and gives you a little bit of like a super easy context on who Chris Levine is as an artist. But what do we need to know about this upcoming collection?
Well, first of all, it's on Wednesday. So that's the date. The artist is truly legendary. This is his first ever NFT collection. As you can see from what's currently on screen, his current market is very active. And you know, you can also go to liveart.io/analytics, type in Chris Levine, and you will see the market. So the works sell for $200,000 and up at major auction houses around the world, exhibited in many of the world's most prestigious museums worldwide, right? The National Gallery of Art in London, and the Museum of Modern Art in New York. So really the top institutions in the world. The subject matter of this collection, and that's why it's called Icons, is iconic subjects. So this drop highlights his iconic images of cultural luminaries from the worlds of art, music, and fashion. So you will see Banksy there, and you will see Kate Moss there, and you will see Paul Smith there. So really highly recognized personalities. We're particularly excited about the Banksy. It's the only official portrait of Banksy that's done by a professional artist in the world ever. So this is kind of cool. As for the drop itself, it's very exclusive. There are only 500 one-of-one NFTs available. Each one is accompanied by a physical print, personally signed by Chris. So you can buy just an NFT. Or you can buy NFT and the print. And so the NFT price is 0.25 ETH. And the print price, we actually just reduced it. In fact, this is the first time we're announcing it. We haven't even announced it on our Twitter. The reason for that is that, well, ETH went up considerably since the first time that we priced this this collection, and also an appreciation of the amazing community and our commitment to kind of bringing fine art to Web3. The bundle of NFT and print is now 0.3 ETH for the print bundle during pre-sale, and 0.4 ETH during the public sale. Of course, you know that we have a Live Art Pass. With the Live Art Pass, you're essentially getting the pre-sale price, but you have to buy the pass. You can pick one up on OpenSea. So that's the pricing. As you mentioned, this comes on the heels of very successful previous drops that we have done with Yo Ming Jun and many others. So we expect it to sell out in hours, if not minutes, just like those previous ones have.
Awesome. And Signal, I know you had a question. Anything to add here?
Actually, Boris answered it while he was talking about the characteristics of the artists that they partner with. But I'm very excited for whoever wins that Banksy one, simply because, as you've just mentioned, no one... Actually, I'm curious, is he showing his face in the portrait or is it anonymous?
Well, it's anonymous. I guess I'm not going to reveal any secrets to say that it's anonymous. No face, but it is an official portrait, and it's treated in a very, very interesting way. And, you know, this is a generative drop, so everyone is unique. So there are actually a few Banksys. They'll look different. And that's something for to look forward to during the reveal.
Awesome.
Very good. And I'm excited.
Any other call to actions, Boris, other than signing up for the pre-mint link to potentially win an allow list spot for the mint on Wednesday and to follow Live Art on X? Anything else people should know about the drop or calls to action?
The only other one is to pick up the Live Art Pass on OpenSea. We don't print new ones at the moment, so it has to be bought on the secondary market. So it's an OpenSea on the Live Art Pass collection. So that is, as I mentioned, 10% discount during pre-sale, guaranteed spot on the allow list, and 3x points earnings of the art loyalty points, soon to be tokens after the TG event.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're super excited for it. And like I said, one more time, make sure to follow LiveArt on Twitter and check out the pre-mint link to sign up for an allow list giveaway. It's pinned up at the top and shown in the YouTube description. Boris, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It was great again.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Make sure to tune in, follow LiveArt on Twitter, and sign up for the pre-mint link. And we'll be back tomorrow morning. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back again 9.